Hello and welcome to another episode of the Trade Paperbacks. I do not have
you didn't
any more
bring a
rating
scoring card?
Yeah, we're gonna have to write over an old one.
Oh boy.
So before we get started, what is it? Dialogue, artwork, plot. Hold on, dialogue.
Here we are making the full
dialogue, artwork, plot.
Plot. And then I believe
story plot, right?
Yeah, story plot, and then entertainment.
Entertainment and cool factor. Wow, that's a lame one.
Which we're definitely hitting high marks for our podcast right now.
This is like the coolest podcast. What are you talking about?
Pretty wicked. It's right. Far out, man.
It's far out, dude. It's so cool, bro.
Maybe you should put two sets of boxes because...
because I'm doing it.
Yeah, because you're reviewing them this time, too.
So. Okay, there it is.
There we go.
Look at that.
Building a spreadsheet right here.
See, I did not forget them. Maybe I'm redoing them.
That's right. That's what it is.
That's what I'm going to say now.
The production line is ongoing.
This is Iron Man Extremis, right?
Extremis, not extremist.
Oh, yeah. That's a different coming. Extremis. All right, so this is actually where the 2008 film was inspired by.
Oh, really? This?
Yeah. This came out in 2005. It was six issues that ran from 2005 to 2006, specifically January 2005 to April 2006.
They stuck them into a book.
And this, everything about this inspired the film Iron Man. Huh. This is, like, you know when they put, like, adapted by, you know.
Yeah.
This is their core source material.
Okay.
Which is why I wanted you to read it.
Okay. Well, I was kind of assuming when I was reading it that, like, a good portion of it was actually just, like, standard backstory. Because...
It is.
I was like, this is very similar to the film. But I was like, I guess they came out around the same time and maybe they didn't want people to read this and think, well, this... But the film was so much better. But I guess this came out before the film. Anyway, so... I actually liked the film pretty good, but that was like the very first of the Marvel films, I think, that came out that kicked off the whole thing.
Yeah, this was, okay, let me be clear. This was used for the 2000, like the first film.
Yeah.
But it was the primary, like in the credits, for Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Just to let you know. Like this is obviously very important. Inspired two films, really.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I hope it's great. I don't have a lot of Marvel, and I also didn't want to start out with like the best, you know, the best Marvel, which I will give you next week, or no, not next week, but like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's being dropped on the top of a ski slope.
Because if we're doing Tuesday, Thursday,
yeah,
I can do what we can get eight. That's all we're
going
to do.
Eight a month. What month is this? I mean, it just comes down to, you know, whatever. We'll figure it out.
March, April. It's all the same.
I can never tell.
These months run together. All right. So anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah. tell me about the story, because I did not read this before you borrowed it. I read it.
When you bought it?
When I first bought it. And I'll talk about where I got it, because I didn't know what I was buying.
Oh, okay.
I just was like, oh, okay.
So there were things I liked about it. It was more insular than I expected. I expected with Iron Man, like, there'd probably be a good number of characters. There's, like, five characters total in this whole thing. and I was like, okay, I guess it makes sense for, like... But you've got six issues. Like, you could tell a broader story.
Hmm.
But, like, there's a couple of characters, like, they show up, and then they're gone. Never come back. Show up, and they're gone. Never come back. I liked certain things about it. I did like the stuff that they took, clearly. They took it and told Iron Man's backstory. For the movie, and I liked that because I was like, oh, I recognize this. I remember this. This was actually pretty cool. And so I enjoyed that. But there's other things about it that I don't know. Like, I didn't like the painting. It's kind of like a painting style at first. Sort of like semi-modernism with like cartoon inking.
Yeah.
Like some of it's very off-putting. I didn't like it, and then I grew to like it okay, and then I didn't like certain aspects of it. One of the things I did not like that kind of,
I'm just showing them different awkward panels.
Different panels and cells. Also, it is very, very, very formulaic. There is not much inventiveness in terms of panel design and things like that, which is a bummer because there were a lot of action sequences where you could have done something really interesting, but most of it's just, here's some cells, you know. But the thing that I ended up disliking about the art style that really kind of pulled me out of the comic is they would have somebody create this artwork. I don't know exactly how they did it. You know, it looks like a painting with like some cell shading sort of thing. But then they would like use a computer to blur it for action sequences. And that just didn't work for me. I imagine some people might really like that. But like some of the action sequences, it just looks so much like they spent like half a second in Photoshop blurring it. And I'm like, this is not good. So yeah, I don't know. Overall, I did like certain things about it. It's a little too insular. It's a little too quaint, but like, yeah, here's a good example. Like when he's running here and it's just like, you just slapped on a Gaussian blur filter, like 2.2 and that's it. That's all you did. And there's a bunch of that in here in the action sequences. There's an awful lot of like just Photoshop rendering. And I feel like you should get more than just like the most ultra basic effort in Photoshop for something like this. I also don't know how much this costs. I suppose I can turn it over and see. I mean, it's $14.99 US at the time. So that's not too bad. I mean, for six issues, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Is that a lot? I mean.
No. Okay. So
I guess the question is like, how much would the comic books have been when they came out? Anyway, go on.
Well, they would have been like $3.
Yeah. Okay. So, so 18. Yeah. So you saved a few dollars.
Saved a few bucks. So this was written by Warren Ellis, and it was illustrated by Adi Granov. According to most reviewers, this is one of the best Iron Man story arcs.
Okay.
And that's if you go on like Goodreads and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's listed as one of the best Iron Man stories. Mm-hmm. One of the big differences, his suit is way more powerful than other variations.
I see.
Of course, the actual creation of it, the first suit, that's pretty standard. You know, it might change wars, you know, from back in the day, or it might change
a few aspects. Was that he's supposed to be a mobile tank, so he should be fairly powerful, right?
Yeah, but you can be bulky and like.
Yeah, that's true. But like, in this issue, he does cut a car in half and then like hit a guy with a car. Like, yeah. He literally just lifts a car up and hits him, which I don't feel like he does anything like that in the movie. I feel like that would just be. It would just look too unwieldy.
Which it does in this.
Yeah, even in the comic book, it looks a little goofy. But it's,
and ironically, you know. So this is probably my favorite Iron Man villain, right? The Mandarin. And he does not come off good in this.
Yeah.
You
mean even for a villain?
Yeah, not like good as in positive, but just kind of, it's an awkward situation.
Yeah, he seems kind of.
Because he lifts a car, I think, too, in this.
Yeah.
And he's always breathing fire, which is, you know, the abilities are right, but coming out of this, you know, quasi-realistic art style.
Yeah.
It just looks like somebody throwing up fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Projectile vomiting fire. And you know what's funny? I think the artist is very good, but I don't think it lends itself to these kind of scenes.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm seeing, I don't know, just, it's just a very awkward fight.
Yeah.
There's something about motion in traditional comic book art where you can feel it, but this is so it's kind of like the difference between, you know, like a photograph.
Yeah.
It feels like a moment in time as opposed to a moment happening.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my biggest issue.
I think that was the problem that I had with them relying on the blurring stuff to convey motion, because then you're just taking that off of the artist's responsibility. He doesn't even have to lay a scene out in such a way as to present the motion, because he knows that you're just going to do that in Photoshop anyway. You're just going to slap some filters in there to provide the motion so he can just lay the scene out however he wants and the computer will take care of it. So yeah, I agree with you completely. Like, the art style is a little off put by that whole thing. And the villain, like, I have some questions about certain things with regard to like the villain, because they're like, he's in Texas somewhere, and then the villain takes off and he's running, and they say, oh, he's running 300 miles an hour. But then Iron Man, like, needs to take whatever injection that he took, which takes a certain amount of time, because otherwise he's going to die. And it's like, that's supposed to take, like, what, a couple of days for that thing to take effect? And so then Iron Man, having, you know, adapted, like, having had his body adapted this way after a couple of days, is going after this guy who, at running 300 miles an hour, is still not at Washington, D.C. And I'm like, if you're running 300 miles an hour, you're in Washington, D.C. in, like, 4 hours, 5 hours. Because most of Texas is about 1,200 miles away from D.C., you know. And that's, so, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm just, why, don't even say that. It's impressive for a man to be running at 70 miles an hour. And I guess you could say, well, 300 miles an hour because you can't really keep up with him with a helicopter, because you could, you know, have an Apache helicopter attack him. I don't know. I think Apache helicopters might be able to do more than that. But, you know, but it's also too slow for most fighter planes and things like that. So, I don't know. Maybe that's why they did it. But it, your timing stuff is off here. They should have at least rewritten the earlier portion of the story so that it doesn't take 2 or 3 days for this transformation to take place. It takes like an hour or an hour and a half. Hmm. But maybe it's just more drastic if it's like you're on the edge of death for 3 days. It just doesn't add up. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. Maybe he wears himself out really fast and he has to stop to, you know, eat a whole bunch of food because it's calorie based, you know, which that would make sense. But just like stick something in here.
So again, I have not read this in, I would say, at least 10 years.
Okay.
So, and I'm just flipping through it now, so I'm just trying to get a refresher course, but since you recently read it,
mm-hmm.
Where are the Mandarin's rings?
Rings?
Yeah. He doesn't wear rings?
I don't think so.
It is the Mandarin, correct?
I don't know. I don't know if they ever say it in there. I don't, that, when you said that name, I was like, I don't know. He's like some redneck,
Well, then
there was like a portion of it where I was like, okay, like you're taking kind of a Ruby Ridge sort of approach, which makes a certain amount of sense because that was one of the inspirations for the Oklahoma City bombing by Timothy McVeigh. But like, I don't know. They don't give you much with the Mandarin. They don't give you much with the enemy. It's really a little bit too, like, they spent so much time, like, giving you Iron Man's his moral quandary, but everybody else is kind of just like, they're kind of just there, they're kind of just doing their thing. They don't give you much with anybody else, with the exception of the doctor that is like his old friend or whatever. So I don't know. And I will also say, even though they spent a lot of time with Iron Man and his backstory and his various concerns, the movies just do a better job, or at least the first movie did. I don't remember enjoying the second and third Iron Man movies. I feel like there are portions of the third that I liked, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's the Mandarin. It's like some guy. You know what? It might be when he wakes up, but I think they refer to him by his name.
Yeah, according to this, his name is Malin.
Malin, that's what it is, yeah. Malin.
Malin is, they were given the extremist virus, blah, 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 blah. So he goes by Madden.
John Madden?
Apparently. And he goes by extremist as his actual name as well, even mm-hmm. though that's the name of the virus.
Extremist is the virus? That's right.
Extremis, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just as confused as you are.
Yeah, maybe it's not the Mandarin. What is the Mandarin all about?
The Mandarin is a character that's been around a very long time, Stanley mm-hmm. times and everything. And he would have 10 rings. Okay, very gaudy jewelry.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a jewelry person. Like, I don't.
Not just
I can't
like rings, but like,
yeah, I can't wear rings.
Yeah.
My wife hates.
I can't even wear a wristwatch.
Yeah, I can't wear watches. Yeah. I can't. You know, I do. Wear a necklace, but I don't have it. But yeah, I can't do things on me
mm-hmm.
tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I can wear a necklace because yeah. it's big.
Loose.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't wear a turtleneck.
I cannot wear a turtleneck. Yeah. I really can.
I know that feeling.
I really can.
Yeah.
But yeah, my necklace, it's a cross necklace, but it's like a 20 inch. So I don't have it goes way over.
Yeah.
So, and it hangs really low. So that's fine. And, but if it was like tight, I can't do tight anything. I can't. Anyway, so 10 rings. I'm going to go over the 10 rings.
Okay.
So you know what each one does.
Oh.
Grants you the power, okay?
Okay.
So we'll start with left hand, pinky, mm-hmm. little finger. That is an iced blast.
Okay. So the ring does the thing?
Well, I mean...
Like, or does it enable the power that he's...
Enable it, but he usually would do it from that hand as well.
Yeah.
So left pinky, the ring is called Zero, and it's ice blast. Right hand pinky, it's called Nightbringer, and it can create... Darkness, total darkness around
like temporary
him.
Shadows.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Ring finger, left hand, it's called the Liar. And that is kind of, it's a psionic energy increasing device.
Does it cause confusion or something?
No, it's just kind of like.
Okay.
Yeah. Ring finger, right hand, is called Spectral. That's the name of the ring. And it is a disintegration beam.
Oh.
But you have to be you got to be very precise.
Right.
But it destroys all bonds between the atoms and the molecules of the object that it strikes.
Oh.
So that's pretty...
That's pretty devastating. That's
pretty serious stuff.
Universal acid.
Middle finger, most important of the fingers. left hand is... The ring is called Lightning. I'm sure you can guess what it does. It's electronic blast.
He could work for the power company.
The right hand middle finger is called Spin, and it's a vortex beam. So, obviously, it causes the air to move at high speed.
Hmm.
Vortex.
Okay. So he can make a tornado with lightning.
Basically.
Yeah. he's good to go.
index finger, left hand, is incandescence, and it kind of... emits infrared radiation.
Okay, so he can see through walls or something, or
I haven't really seen it. It mainly, to me, every time I see it drawn, it's just fire.
Mm, okay, so he's just cooking. He's a flamethrower.
Yeah. In microwave. right hand index finger. Yep, is an impact beam. It's called Influence, and it actually. Isn't very consistent. Hmm. It's all kinds of different types of energy.
Oh.
And it's not... I don't even know if it's really confined to a single type.
Hmm. So it's whatever I need it to be in this occasion.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him shoot Iron Man into a mountain.
Oh.
Like, just with said energy. Not sure. The thumb... Very brave. Brave man to wear a thumb ring.
Ring on the thumb. Yeah.
Not many can pull it off. Okay? It's like him and...
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Maybe Steven Tyler could pull it off.
Yeah, well.
Mick Jagger.
He might have been able to at one point.
So. All right. On the thumb, it's called Dalmonic. And it is a white light. But again, it's any light on the electromagnetic spectrum.
Okay.
So it could be... I know it's called white light, but it can... Yeah.
It can make radio waves or gamma pulses.
Right.
Or,
it just makes it... It's very, very wide.
So it can do anything.
And then on the right thumb is Remaker. That's the name of the ring.
Remaker.
And it is a matter rearranger. So it can rearrange the atoms and molecules of a substance. It can speed it up. It can slow it down to produce whatever it wants.
Huh.
Boil water!
I need tea now.
I need my tea. So yeah, I really don't know. That's but anyway, that's the Mandarin.
Okay.
So this isn't the Mandarin. This is somebody called Extremis, I guess, because he did so many virus upgrades, right?
Yeah. Well, he did one.
Just one?
They just give one injection to him.
That's all you need, huh?
Yeah. Well, okay. To be fair, it's like a little injection gun. But it's got, like, a bunch of needles in it, it looks like. It's got a whole bunch.
Oh.
But they didn't give him any jewelry or any rings or anything. It's literally just a bio program. So, yeah. And they do mention in this that, like, well, you know, we only ever got one person to work with the Super Soldier program that was originally done, and that was Captain America. Which I'm like, okay, that makes sense, because there was always that question in my mind when I was watching the Avengers movies of like, how come you haven't just like given these, you guys did this back in World War II, how come you didn't just like make a bunch of super soldiers? So I appreciated having that addressed, that sort of thing. But yeah, I did, I mean, it was cool for the artistic style, but yeah, if you notice like they inject him in the spine or whatever, so.
Okay, well.
I don't remember what happens to his henchmen, because like,
don't know.
Like, there's two buddies of his who are like, yeah, we're going to do this thing, and like, maybe he'll survive, and then, but then they just don't come back. They're not addressed. Like,
oh, really?
And I'm just like, what's going on? Like,
classic.
Yeah. I don't know. They're just, so many things that could have been done with the story, and they, I feel, wasted some time in certain things, like Iron Man and his old friend go to visit this old technologist, and he kind of like makes jokes and stuff, and he's nice to them, but then he also kind of points out that both their lives have been largely pointless. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you don't really know that he's actually Iron Man and there's all that, but I guess he kind of points to the fact of like, well, if your life is pointless and you are the guy who invented the Iron Man suit, and Iron Man is not helping the world enough for that to really make any kind of difference whatsoever, then, like, I don't know. There's just things in here where I'm like, why are we wasting so much time with this guy? Like, why are we talking about this? And it ultimately is pointless. It ultimately has nothing to do with the story, except it sets up one little character twist that could have been set up in a much easier way, taking much less page space for, you know, the person who turns out to be the secret bad guy, you know. Because it turns out his old friend is the one who released the extremist virus.
Right, which is, so, that's straight out of Iron Man 3, so you can tell that this was the main source material.
I did not remember that that happened in Iron Man
3. Well, Iron Man 3, so. Which is about the Mandarin, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And the whole movie, you think it's one guy, and then at the very end you find out it's not.
It's not, it's somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see where they pulled that. I guess
you should go back and watch that one at some point.
I don't. Know. Okay. Don't. I guess that's why I thought this was Mandarin-based, because it was the primary source for Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, Iron Man 3 isn't really the Mandarin either.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Kingsley has the Ten Rings. I don't know.
Did they ever do anything with that?
In the
Marvel Cinematic series?
You should watch the movie, and then you can be like, oh, that's what they did with it.
Oh, okay. Well, if I have to go back and watch Iron Man 3 again,
don't.
I'm not going to do it. I have not. I'd stopped off watching somewhere in the series, and I just have not missed it. So yeah, I'm sure plenty of people listening to this, if we have a plenty, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh no, there's
like,
five.
Are you serious?
Like, hey fellas,
yeah, we're a tight knit community.
We are. We're tight knit. You know, we're just kind of hanging out, talking about comics,
ragging on Iron Man.
I do want to talk about one thing.
There were things that I liked, but you know, I don't know.
Well, let me talk about one thing I didn't really care for.
Well, you also haven't told the story about how you got it.
Oh, it's not that exciting. It's not. I went to a comic book convention, which used to be something I did all the time.
Mm-hmm. Some people still do that.
I would like to go this year. You know, I really would at some point.
Let me know
when it gets there.
Maybe we can figure it out.
But, yeah, we'll have to promote the podcast.
That's right.
Go from 4 to 8 or 9, hopefully.
That would be a doubling.
On
that trajectory, the sky's the limit.
I was looking for a comic for my fellow podcast hosts on the Hero Heads podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to give them gifts,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff I found. And I just so happened to see this. It was maybe a $2, $3 thing, mm-hmm. you know, in a $2 bin. So I grabbed it because I don't own a lot of Iron Man anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read it, and it was what it was. But I did get some goofy stuff for the other guys. So okay. I got Brocho, this, like, how to make friends book, because he didn't
have
any.
The one where
you
also influence people?
Yeah, the influence people book. Yeah. And I think I got Krebs and...
Did it help?
Owen, huh?
I remember Brocho. Did it help?
Maybe he doesn't live in this state anymore.
Oh, that's right. He moved to Tennessee.
Yeah, so maybe it helped him realize no one likes him in Ohio. Maybe that's what helped. But yeah, can we just talk about Iron Man killing the guy?
Yeah.
I mean...
Kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And then he kicks his dead body and says, "Why'd you make me do that?"
Yeah.
What? That is not a good look for Tony. "Make me do that. One thing left to do. The worst thing." I don't know. It's not the best. He literally puts his hands on the side of the guy's head and just...
Yeah, I guess uses his hand pulse.
Yeah, his hand pulse. Whatever that is. I mean, it's pretty...
And just, like, explodes his head.
Yeah. It's not graphic, but, I mean, it is. Because of we know what's happening.
So and I guess repulsors are just very effective at close range.
Anyway.
Yeah, I guess it's over. And then they do the thing where it's like, oh, actually...
It's not over.
His friend released it.
All right, let's do the rating. Dialogue.
Okay, so... Not the worst, but I'm not going any higher than a 6. I'll give it a 6.
Okay, I was going to go 5. Artwork?
So the artwork, I had some serious reservations about. I'm going to go with, like... I'm going to go with a 3. It wasn't creative. It wasn't very creative. But also, it was just... I didn't see the purpose of having this, like, kind of mediocre painting style with Photoshop filters. It just didn't work for me.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 4, because at the time, it was probably a big deal.
It probably was.
Plot, story?
I'll go with a 5.
Okay.
It was adequate.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I liked the things that they pulled from for Iron Man 1. Basically, just his backstory of building the
entertainment, cool factor.
Entertainment. I wasn't completely bored, but...
No, I wasn't bored.
I would give it a 6 for that.
Okay, and then cool factor?
Probably a 4.
Okay. I'm good with 5s for both.
Okay.
Which also puts us at the same score. So we're at 10, 15, 24, mm-hmm. So 4.8.
So 4.8. That's actually better than I thought it would
be. That is better. And we actually both gave it a 4.8. Yeah. So. You know, it is, you know, it's kind of hard going from one to the other, you know, because it is a different vibe. But I promise you, I do have a really, really, really great Marvel comic in the lineup for this month.
Like a Marvel graphic novel This one's
a
proper graphic novel.
It's properly at least recognized as like,
this is the one.
This is the one. Speaking of the one, we're going to be talking about a less popular book next time, and then we're talking about a very popular book the following time after that. So,
okay,
lots to look forward to, and lots to
continue
to talk about. And I'm pretty sure we're going to go back to Grab Bag Month, which is rough. It is rough to do that.
But you said you have so much. So
I do. I have so much. There's all those first issues we haven't touched.
But we never did actual proper ratings of those. So
yeah,
we could actually apply the rating system here and have some fun.
Yeah, we just did that thing where we laid them all out.
Yeah, yeah. Where we just kind of like up, you know, basically thumbs up or thumbs down sort of
right,
thing.
Right,
you know?
But yeah, these will be, let me just say the next two episodes will be
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.